All right, good morning. Before we begin, there's just one more announcement that was not in the bulletin, and just a reminder that 2 weeks from tonight, we're going to have our group mentoring event, and that'll be at the Grove. So just for your mentors and mentees, hopefully it's already on your calendars, but that'll be 2 weeks from tonight. So this morning, we're continuing our series of The Family of God on Mission, and we're going to be talking about what it means to balance and integrate mission into our families. How many of you have ever participated in a low ropes course before? It's about half. So if you don't know what a low ropes course is, it's essentially, it's a series of challenges or that are basically team building exercises. It's typically pretty simple type things that are, they look simple. You might have seen them if you're out hiking somewhere, but they're complex ways of getting people to work together for a common goal. So one of the challenges on a low ropes course is called the whale watch, and essentially it's this oversized teeter-totter. It's this long platform, that wide and long on top of a fulcrum, and you start off with everybody on the team or everybody that's doing this course standing on one side. And the object is to get the whole thing to balance. And so you send one person across at a time until it starts to kind of go up. And then you send more and you figure out where to stand and stay still so it stays balanced, like you might do a teeter-totter. In fact, for those that went to Puerto Rico, if you remember, we built one of those for the camp while we were there. It's not too terribly difficult. It might seem so at first, but once you start getting it going, it's definitely possible to do. There's another one, and I could not find the name of this, but Aaron and I did it when we were interns at Mission Indy, and it has the same idea of trying to strike a balance, except rather than a teeter-totter shape, it's a circle, and it's balanced on a fulcrum in the middle, so when it's not, when there's nobody on it, it looks like a merry-go-round. But the moment somebody steps on it, it just flips down to one side, and then you have to get people to go on one at a time and kind of go around, and it feels pretty much impossible. But after a while and with some coaching, you get people to kind of move closer to the center or out to the sides. It is possible to balance a group of people on a circle on a middle point. So the question we're going to be responding to this morning is, how do we find balance in our lives? Many of us wake up every day with full schedules ahead, frantically going from one activity to another, trying to keep it all in balance, trying not to forget everything, making it to the very end of the day exhausted, to fall into bed, to fall asleep, to wake up, to do it all over again. Does this sound like your day, anybody? I think finding balance in our lives with the people that we most closely relate to, our families, which, as we talked about last week and we'll talk about it again, doesn't include just blood family, but friends, neighbors, coworkers, etc., is sort of like trying to balance on this circle with the thing in the middle, where everybody has to stand very still and spread their weight around so that it stays perfectly balanced. Except in life, it's like doing that, but we're all blindfolded, and there's a toddler running around from side to side, and the circle is on fire. Or at least that's how it feels for me. This morning, we're going to be continuing our series, Family of God on Mission, by considering how we can appropriately integrate and balance mission into the lives of our Oikos families. And if you were here last week, we talked about Oikos being the Greek word for household, not yogurt, and it has more to do with the idea of extended household. So it could include your neighbors, your business partners, your friends. It could include your immediate family, but also your extended families. And it was a common Greek idea in Jesus's time. And so when we talk about family or family of God or Oikos family this morning, that's we're talking about the same thing. It's the idea of who is in our circles. Before we dive into finding balance of family and mission, I want to establish two critical truths, one about the nature of God and then one about the nature of us, or how God's nature reflects on us. And first is that God is a missionary God. That is an essential piece of God's character. We cannot get around the fact that if we claim to know God, to follow God, to worship God, we have to rightly know that God is a missionary God. John 3:16 tells us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not die but have eternal life." God loved us so much that he gave Jesus to save us. This is a missionary action. He saw a broken relationship between us and him. He saw something that needed fixed, and he said, "I'm going to fix it, and here's what I'm going to do." Second, then, because God is a missionary God, God's followers are also called to be missionaries. Because God is a missionary God, we are called to be missionaries. We see this as God gave us an example of missionary action in sending Jesus, but it doesn't just end there. His action towards us demands our response towards others, and that's where the scripture for this morning comes in. Jesus tells us in John 20, 21 through 23, "Again, Jesus said, 'Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you.' And with that, he breathed on them and said, 'Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven.'" The key phrase here is, "As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." Our missional lives are in response to God as a missionary. Charles Spurgeon, the renowned preacher and author, said that every Christian is either a missionary or an imposter. I'm going to read that again because I think that's really striking. Every Christian is either a missionary or an imposter. If we claim to follow a missional God, then we have to be missional ourselves. We have no excuse. We must be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ to the people in the places that we live, work, and play. So then we come back to the original question of mission and how it balances into the lives of the family of God. How do we strike the proper balance between mission and between family, an oikos family? In the book Family on Mission, from which I'm drawing a lot of this series, Mike Breen gives us four possible approaches that we are going to now look at. And they're on your outline in your bulletin if you'd like to follow along. So the first approach is the family of God or mission. Family of God or mission. So that is essentially choosing one or the other. And in this case, it's choosing mission over family. In the books of Samuel, 1 and 2 Samuel in the Old Testament, it tells the history of the people of Israel, and it starts with talking about how God called this young boy Samuel to be his priest and to be raised to be a priest by Eli, who was the high priest at the time. And so in 1 Samuel chapter 2, we read about Eli, who has two grown sons that are in the priesthood, and they were abusing their powers when it came to the sacrifices, the meat sacrifices specifically. And because of that, this man, this anonymous man, we don't know who it was sent to Eli and said, "Your sons, whom you have been neglecting, whom you have not been paying attention to, have been abusing their powers, and because of this, I'm going to cut off the line of Eli from the priesthood, and I'm going to kill your sons, and you're going to know that this is because of what they have done, because they're going to die on the same day." And so, at the same time that this is happening, we read about Samuel, whom Eli has given all this attention, that he continued to grow in stature and favor with the Lord and with people, according to 1 Samuel 2:26. So, Eli continues to do what he's doing, and Hophni and Phinehas, the sons of Eli, continue to do what they're doing. And then we come to 1 Samuel chapter 4. And in chapter 4, the people of Israel go to battle against the Philistines. The Philistines capture the Ark of the Covenant, which is basically a vessel that contains all the most important religious artifacts, including the Ten Commandments. And during that battle, both Hophni and Phinehas are killed. The messenger takes all this information to Eli and says, the ark has been captured, your sons have been killed, and Eli, who's very old at this time, promptly falls off his stool and his neck breaks and he dies. Now, this is obviously not an uplifting story, but it has a point. We don't know where Hophni and Phinehas went wrong. We don't know why exactly they came to the place where they were priests and just not living as God had called them to be. But what we do know is that Eli was paying an awful lot of attention to Samuel, and maybe because he was too cowardly, was neglecting his own two sons. Maybe he saw God's mission as coming through Samuel more than his sons, or thought, maybe this is my second chance to fix the mistakes that I made the first time around. Either way, because he sacrificed his family for his understanding of mission, both things failed. He failed both mission and family. We can probably all think of a time when we've sacrificed our oikos family for work or for our own selfishness or maybe even for the church and good things. The truth is that God does not call us to make the choice between family and or mission. So the first approach we could have is family or mission. The second is family as mission, or we could say family over mission. There are situations or periods of time in our life where family absolutely becomes the first thing, where there is just extra demand. It could be when you are having children and they're young and they're needy and they're demanding of more demanding of our time. It could be that you're just getting married and you're establishing family, and that takes time as well. It could be that you have somebody in your family that's very sick or ill, or you've become a caretaker of a person. Either way, family as mission, where it becomes your primary thing, is very much a real part of our lives and can be acceptable as long as when family becomes mission in that, it is something we're doing intentionally to deal with what is a short-term event or situation. If family becomes our permanent mission without end, meaning that's all we're giving our time and attention and focus to, because either we can't cut out unnecessary busyness with our family so as to focus on other things, or we can't be creative about how we can integrate mission into our family, or simply we've become so used to focusing only on our family that we don't know how to focus on anything else, then that's a problem. Family can be an idol just like any other idol, and we worship it because family is good. And although it might seem like the right thing to do and the good thing to do, permanent family as mission can be just as harmful as any other form of idolatry. So family as mission is acceptable as long as it doesn't become idolatry. So that's our second possible approach. The third is that family is family of God and mission. Rather than choose between one or the other, we say, why not just do both? The key word here is and. Family and mission in this approach makes it so that they rarely overlap. So you do your church meeting and your church small group and your mission event and your missional discipleship group, whatever it is that you might do. And then your spouse does his or her church meeting and small group and discipleship group and event. And your children, they come and they do their programming and their small groups and their events. And we're all at church at the same time, but we're not really interacting. And so in this way, it's sort of like bowling. So we're all playing the same game. We're all throwing the ball towards the same pins, but we're not really having much to do with each other. In order to maintain the appropriate amount of time given to family and mission, the focus has to be on setting clear and distinct boundaries. You have to make sure that this meeting ends on time so you can get to that choir concert. The work project can't go any later than a certain time because you have a soccer game to get to. Church better not go over today because I've got something in the oven because people are coming over. If it works just right, I could drop my kids off at piano practice, then I can read the scripture so that when I go to discipleship group, I'll be prepared. And then after that, I can go to the store and then take the food home and make dinner. And then I can do family devotionals and get the kids in bed, and then the night's over. Oh, wait, I forgot to do dishes. Then the night's over, then I can go to sleep. Again, this probably sounds familiar to some of you. This is a compartmentalized way of living. We have to put everything into their very neat and organized boxes and keep them all straight and separate and maintained. But unfortunately, there ends up being an awful lot of boxes, and it becomes very difficult to maintain them all well. And what ultimately happens is we end up failing on all fronts, or feeling like we failed mission and family. If you are an active member at this church or an active person at this church, this is probably the place where you live most of the time. And it may seem like the only solution at times is either to spread yourself very thin or to choose one over the other. So this week I'm going to sacrifice my family for the church, but next week I'm going to sacrifice my church for the family. This morning, I want to suggest that there is a different way to do family and mission. That Scripture calls us to a deeper commitment to both, but it's exponentially easier and more life-giving to do family on mission than to do family or mission, to do family as mission, or family and mission. So living as the family of God on mission together means intentionally integrating God's mission into the lives of your Oikos family so that your lives together and everything that you do together are aimed at being the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. We see an example of this in the way that the early church worked and lived together in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. This is what it says. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So what is the early church doing here that makes them a family of God on mission? Well, we see them praying together. We see them playing together. It says they just simply spent time together. We see them sharing resources so that everybody would have what he or she needed. They were eating. They had common meals together every day in each other's homes. And they were giving thanks. They had gratitude and praise for what God had been doing for them as a community. None of these practices are particularly remarkable. Eating, playing, giving thanks, praying. I mean, none of these things are life-changing or something that you would say, well, I never thought of that before. It's very normal things in the life of a person. But the key is that they took things that they would have already been doing and they decided we're going to do them together and we're going to do them for a purpose. And then they took other very common practices, but individualistic practices like the collection of goods and wealth, and they redeemed them for the good of the community by sharing. Sharing. It's a thing we work to teach our children, and they said, we're going to try that as adults too. They made all of these habits parts of their day and their week and their month and their rhythms of life, as we call them. Family of God on mission is not about adding things to your already maxed out lives, but it's about allowing God to orient what we are already doing for the good of His kingdom. So how do we do this family of God on mission? Well, a few things. First, we have to start by choose to serve God together. We have to choose to serve God together. In the book of Joshua, chapter 24, Joshua, realizing that it's the end of his life, he is going to die soon, wants to leave the people of God with a lasting message. He wants to one more time remind them who it is that they serve. And so this is what he says in Joshua 24, verses 14 through 15. "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in your land, in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. He gave them a very simple choice, and he said, this is something you can choose to do. And we have those same choices and opportunities. We can either serve the God that we know as found in Scripture and that we worship here at church, or we can serve the gods of our culture. And whether we're intentional about it or not, we make those choices every day. So we can choose right here and now, according to Joshua, even if we've been serving other gods, so to speak, we can choose right here and now together to follow the one and true God. So the question that we have then for ourselves is, do we make these choices? Did we make this choice? Do we share our spiritual lives and our discipleship journeys with our Oikos family? Could we make our journey of faith and our call to mission something we are doing together rather than something that we are all doing individually and separate? Has our Oikos family chosen to serve God together? So the first thing, choose to serve God together. The second thing that we can do, or how to do the family of God on mission, is to embrace God's missional calling together. This means that we're not only choosing to serve a God who is our Lord and Savior, but also choosing to serve a God who is a missionary, a God who sent Jesus into the world to save us, and because of that, we are now being sent into the world as missionaries. If we believe in our hearts that God is who He says He is, we cannot avoid the truth that God is a missionary who has called us to be missionaries. The third thing is that we can serve together in our rhythms of life. We respond to the missional calling of God by living a life of service to others. When our lives together become about God, they also become about loving our neighbors. And then we are no longer focused on selfishly serving only ourselves. And the fourth thing is that we integrate mission into the rhythms of life. So finally, we serve together as the family of God on mission by integrating mission into our rhythms of life. The things we do daily, weekly, monthly, or yearly. Again, we're not adding mission to our lives, to our checklists of things we're supposed to do, like work and sleep and groceries and sports and school and vacation and saving for retirement. But instead, it becomes a part of every one of those things. Consider again the Bells series that we had done in the fall. Bless, eat, learn, listen, sent. These are things meant to be integrated into what we are already doing. Finding ways to bless our friends and our neighbors and the people that we see every day. We eat every day, just finding ways to invite people to eat with us. Listening for the voice of the Spirit who moves in our lives each and every day. What is the Spirit telling us today? Learning, taking time to learn Jesus Christ throughout the week, and then taking time to reflect on our sent this as missionaries. These are all things that are just meant to be a part of our daily rhythms. So when do you eat? Are you eating lunch today? Are you eating dinner today? Do you have a regular coffee time before work? Do you have breaks during work? Do you sit in the same lunchroom as other people? How can you share that with others? When do you grocery shop? Maybe you can invite others to join you. Maybe you can make it a family oikos outing. Maybe you can learn to be missional through grocery shopping. What do you do for fun? Maybe make some of that fun time, invite your oikos family to join you in that. Consider how God can be a part of that fun time together. How do you start your days and how do you end your days? Do you start by saying, God, take this day ahead of me and make it yours? Do you end it by reflecting on how God has worked in the day behind you? And do you talk about that as a family? Let's say, hypothetically, that several families in our church have kids that are all on the same baseball team. Consider meeting with your other families before the baseball games. Maybe you could do a devotional. Maybe you could invite other families who have kids on the same team to join you in that devotional and pray over the game. Maybe some of you are all going to the same choir concert or band concert or musical or whatever it is. We all do stuff together. I know you do. How can we make the things we're already doing serve God and the kingdom? How difficult would that be? Finally, and consider this, if the rhythms of your life are just too frantic and too busy, and I'm just going to say, if you don't think they are, they are. I know mine is. And if mine is, and I'm supposed to be some example of a godly person, then yours certainly is too. If they're too busy or frantic, then you need to start cutting stuff out of them. We need to become more ruthless in the way that we organize our lives. No good thing is worth your family's health or your spiritual health. But don't make mission the first thing that you cut. What you prioritize and what you spend your time doing sends a message to the people in your family and the people around you as much as anything else. If sports or school activities or work becomes the first thing that stays and mission becomes the first thing that goes, then you are making a powerful statement, whether you realize it or not, about what really, truly matters. So as the family of God on mission together, let us embrace the God who is a missionary God and has sent us as missionaries. Let us serve together. Let us learn to integrate mission into our lives together so that our oikos families of God can change the world around us for the sake of the gospel. Let us pray. Almighty Father, I am thankful this morning for my family here. Lord, I am thankful for who they are, the gifts you have given them, the ways that they help lift me up, the ways that they brighten and bring joy to my life. God, I pray for us together as a family of God here at Oak Grove and for the little circles that exist within this family, that you might work through us, that we might find ways to be missional in our daily lives, and Lord, in the ways that we might feel out of whack or out of balance, Lord, that you might bring balance to those. And Lord, make that balance come easier than the ways that we've been trying to do it so far. God, ultimately we do this for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who brings light and life to the world around us. And so it's for his glory and his honor that we pray all these things. Amen. I invite the worship team forward to come and lead us in a response song, and I invite you to stand.